I think it's all good. I'm really, I think the entire council is really excited about the CPC and getting them off the ground. And
this is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 481 in the series. This year is my conversation with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer. This is one of a series of conversations we're having meant to provide a recap of the prior town council meeting. This is akin to one of the many sports post-game analysis broadcasts we're familiar with here in New England. This would be a discussion focused on the Franklin Town Council meeting. Okay, what just happened? What does it mean for Franklin residents and taxpayers? The show includes links to the meeting agenda and associated documents for the town council. Our conversation runs about 25 minutes. So let's listen in to my quarterbacking session with Tom Mercer. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR-FM. And on the Franklin area dial at 102.9, here for another town council quarterbacking session with our town council chair, Tom Mercer. Tom, happy Thursday.
Same to you, Steve. Happy to be here.
Yes. And it was a shorter meeting last night. So that was productive, but shorter. That was good, too.
Exactly. Well, after the marathon a couple weeks ago, it was good to have a little shorter one.
Yes, indeed. So we'll try and keep this within that short space as well, because mindful of the residents, why we're doing this, to reiterate, is, you know, okay, what just happened? And what does it mean for the Franklin residents and taxpayers? So I think we can go through this, you know, and give them the highlights.
Sure.
The first one up, without getting into the real details, but the income tax credit circuit breaker for the seniors. There was a presentation and some discussion on that from Aaron Rogers and the Senior Center.
Yeah, Aaron, we had asked Aaron to come in because, again, sometimes when we have these opportunities for our residents, it's not always, they don't always get all the information and get the opportunities that may or may not be out there for them. So we felt that it was a good time to just kind of remind people about the senior circuit breaker tax credit, which is basically a tax credit. There are income levels that you have to meet, and a tax, you know, a valuation of your home that you can't exceed a certain number. But all that information is available, and it's on the it's on the town website, and if you go to the Senior Center, then you can see the information as well as how you would go about requesting it. And, you know, it's basically open to seniors 65 or older, whether you're filing jointly or whether you file your taxes independently. It's just there are different different levels. So, you know, if you make X amount of dollars as an individual, you know, and obviously it's greater if you file jointly, then you would qualify. And it's a decent amount that you can get reduced from your taxes. And again, not everybody's aware of it, but I think it's something that is worth noting and worth reminding our residents that there are tax credits that are available, real estate tax credits that are available to our seniors as long as they fit the criteria. And this is a good one, and it's one people should look into to see if they qualify, and then if they do, apply.
I think the piece that I learned was there's actually two levels of that. There's a state level, which again, there's still some requirements around income and assets, et cetera, but then there's also the local Franklin level, and you can do both. You should do both, clearly, if you qualify.
Absolutely.
Yep. So that's, yeah, that's goodness. And if you have any questions other than talking to your tax preparer, consultant, accountant, whatever,
reach out
to the senior center and they can help.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, your accountant, the individual doing your taxes, is aware of these things. But certainly, if not, as you just alluded to, Steve, call Aaron at the senior center, and they'll be happy to help you out, or call town hall, and they can certainly lead you in the right directions to get that accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. Then the second discussion item from the council meeting last night was around the troubles and the ongoing discussion effectively on the MBTA parking lot and the issues that that presents. Clearly, those who have been there know that there are steps that are falling into disarray. There are cracks all over the place. They've kind of done some, you know, paint and almost putting the lipstick on a pig kind of approach, but it's a bigger issue, and I think we're all frustrated with it, but
we are. It's something that's been on the council agenda as long as I've been on the council, and I know it was on before me. But we've reached a real frustration level, and we understand the MBTA does not have any money.
Especially in the pandemic time, they're cutting services all over the place.
Exactly. But it doesn't mean that, the downtown MBTA station is in disrepair. And there's, as you alluded to, many cracks in the sidewalks, holes in the sidewalks. The stairs going up to Main Street are in disrepair. Mm-hmm. And all of these, and the building itself is in disrepair. The parking lot, the holes in the parking lot. There are safety issues all over the area. We continue to make the MBTA aware of these things.
Mm-hmm.
We pound on them as best we can, but you can't always get blood from a stone.
No. I appreciate their position. Certainly they've been, behind the eight ball, literally, in terms of funding for a number of years, and the pandemic has just really thrown a real wrench into their programs. But having commuted for many, many years and used the parking lot, I was certainly at least one of the aware ones, so I knew where to park and where not to park, so I could avoid the drainage issues. But at some point in time, somebody's going to do something. Something's going to happen. It will come at some point, but
it will come. Exactly. Yeah. And we have the nice town lot up above that's in great shape. Obviously that's an opportunity for some, but it doesn't take care of the close proximity to the trains. And, having commuted a little bit when I was younger, I understand the last minute riding, driving in the parking lot, dropping the car and jumping on the train.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you also have the handicap accessibility to the trains.
Doesn't exist at the downtown station.
No. Yeah. It is out on Forge Park.
Forge Park has the raised
platform,
so you can get on that way. And certainly a number of other stations in the line going in, Norfolk, Walpole, et cetera, do. But downtown Franklin doesn't.
No.
And if anything, on the parking piece, I think the one silver lining that came out of the discussion was apparently there's a consensus amongst the council to look at kind of the parking requirements for the downtown district itself.
And it's something that's come up a couple of times over the last few weeks, last few meetings. And there is a consensus to take a look at the downtown parking requirements, the direct downtown. Mm-hmm. So I asked Jamie, the town administrator, after last night's meeting to get the process started, and let's take a look at maybe revamping the downtown zoning to help assist in this issue. So,
Right. Because I think for those who may not be aware, clearly there's a commercial district. There's also a downtown commercial district. And I think that is the difference where that requirement is different from what had been, because it had been commercial and then they changed it, et cetera. And, you know, that there's an opportunity to change it back if we need to or adjust it accordingly. Absolutely. I mean, they're there, but they're not necessarily written in stone forever that way. So,
Right. And if we want to get the downtown revitalized and see some, you know, some updated buildings and some maybe some rebuilt buildings. If we want to see this, I think this is a piece that we need to address, because before somebody is going to invest a lot of money into a building downtown, they want to know where they stand with parking and that downtown zoning piece that we put in a few years ago, the parking requirements for that might be a little too stringent. So that will be the discussion as we as it's brought forward to the council, and we'll see where it goes.
But sure.
At least it's on the table and we're going to start to discuss it.
There were two relatively quick pieces of action from a legislation perspective. The second reading of the and the approval of the adjustment to the service fees, particularly for the ambulance fees.
Yes. And again, this is a case where Chief McLaughlin is right on top of this. He brought this into us a year ago or a year and a half ago. When he did some investigating for into neighboring towns and what the charges were to see kind of where we fell, and we were very much below the mean. So we brought the numbers up last year or a year and a half ago to not put us at the top and not put us at the bottom, but keep us in the middle. We're just looking to maintain a median level of, costs for our ambulance service, whether it be ALS or BLS.
And the other clarification point, since you just mentioned the acronym as well, BLS is basic life support, which kind of makes sense. So you're effectively getting a ride, obviously, in with life support. But then there's advanced life support, which is the ALS.
And that's a different ballgame.
That's a different ballgame because you're getting some medication en route. And
exactly.
I guess even there's an ALS-2, which is even more intensive, you know, medication interaction en route.
Correct. And the, you know, and basically the ALS, you're talking about probably an IV line and getting meds into an individual. So obviously there's much more use of the ambulance and the personnel and the services within the ambulance. And obviously it's like everything, there's a cost associated with it.
Sure.
And again, we don't want to be at the high part. We don't want to be at the low part. We want to be somewhere in the middle. And that was what the legislation last night was doing, was keeping us in that mid-range for our surrounding towns and the costs associated.
Right. And then the other factor, and I think we discussed it the prior time when we talked about this as it first came through, but for at least for those who may have missed that, there's regulations around this, at least in terms of what's billable per Medicaid and the health insurances, et cetera. So we're already staying within that, you know, billable, allowable piece as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do. And, you know, again, we were in a situation before where when we were offering mutual aid, we were actually losing money back and forth. So this kind of helps that piece of it as well. So.
Right. And then more of a standard, actually now quarterly piece with the PEG or the public access cable fees that Verizon and Comcast collect had been going to the town. And then I guess because of some other community at some point, DOR changed the regulations. So now we have to have a formal vote to take it from the town funds through to Franklin Cable.
Exactly. And it's a quarterly vote that comes in. and or a quarterly resolution that comes in where we have to vote to put the cable, give the cable, or move the cable fees into Franklin Cable Access, and giving them the authority to expend it, to continue to operate this, right, as well as Franklin TV and our wonderful TV studio and staff at Franklin TV and mm-hmm. Franklin Radio.
So. Provide all those services for, you know, the cable and with the Zoom origination out through cable, through live streaming, the live streaming of the sports games. This, to a certain extent, they provide some equipment. I volunteer the time, but it's a worthwhile piece. So I appreciate your time doing this as well.
Well, you're much more techno savvy than I am. I appreciate all that you guys are doing down there. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, the technology that allows us to get information out to the community and to the residents. Every avenue we can use, we're trying to use. So thank you to you, as well as Pete Fasciano over at Franklin TV, and the entire staff and team
Chris
down
and Chris
there.
And
Chris and Chris and Chris to be named later. So.
Yes. Yeah. We seem to be, maybe it's a requirement. You have to be a Chris to work there. Yeah, who knows?
I think so. But it's all good. All good for sure.
It is indeed. Yes, indeed. So I think that covers the council meeting last night. I mean, there wasn't really a whole lot, no new news other than that. The night before, we did have the inaugural meeting of that Community Preservation Committee we've talked of from time to time. So they finally started.
Yes, they have. And that was a great thing to be a part of. Watching them get together for the first time, albeit on Zoom, to see them get started and get organized. Chris Feely was elected to be the chair of the CPC, and Dave McNeil was the vice chair, and Monique Doyle as the clerk. So they've organized, and they are going to hit the ground running. Now, keep in mind, and we had to remind them, as excited as they all are about putting this together, there really will not be any money available until 22.
Right.
So, and it's fall of 22. So, you know, there's a lot of work they can be doing.
Yes.
And I think Chris and the entire committee are ready to take on that challenge. And as things come up before the council, there will be things that will get sent back to or sent to the CDC for their review and recommendation as it deals with some of the items that fall under their jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, they've got at least a tentative outline of a variety of both reading materials to go through and information sessions to at least give that kind of base point. So everybody's talking from the same song sheet, so to speak, as to what's already going on with the Housing Authority, what's already on the Planning Board, what's already on the CONCOM, what's already in Recreation and Open Space, of course. But there was I thought there was a fifth group that I missed in there somewhere, but whatever, they've got information sessions. Oh, and then the Community Preservation Coalition as well,
right,
to give them some of those other insights as to, oh, by the way, this is what you need to do to within the guidelines, within the Mass General Laws, etc. And of course, as has been discussed before, we'll just reiterate here, between Mark Serrell and Jamie Helen, they've already had exposure to community preservation.
Yes.
Mark's the chair in his community. Jamie, right. That was his first job, was to yeah. actually introduce this.
Yes.
And I think, as you're aware, there was a couple of folks that turned up in the community that have exposure in other towns.
Absolutely.
So there's a rich resource base.
There is a real resource base. And, we've made arrangements. Well, we're in the process of making arrangements to have some people from the state come out give a little tutelage to the committee and bring them up to speed for, the do's and don'ts and, where you should be looking and where you should be focusing. So I think it's all good. I think the entire council is really excited about the CPC and getting them off the ground. And I applaud the efforts of our administration as well as our council to getting this put together so quickly. And I think we have a great committee put together, a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, a lot of local knowledge. Again, as you can see, I'm very excited about it. So
I am as well. It's certainly one of the positive things. It's been a good step, and there's more to come. Things won't happen overnight, but we're headed the right way for that one.
For sure. For sure.
And then at least from the Economic Development Committee meeting, which occurred prior to the town council meeting, there's a couple of things coming your way already out of that. So we can just give them a teaser as to what's coming.
We can. They are bringing forward, and unfortunately I wasn't there for the entire EDC meeting, but I did catch the last two-thirds of it as I arrived at the council chambers. And I did, they are going to move forward and bring back to the council the food truck issues. And I think that's a really good thing. We started it, a year or two ago, and we identified an area, and we've had a little trial and error, and things have worked quite well. Mm-hmm. I think they're coming forward with, a licensing fee and some rules and regs that will be brought to the council to update the bylaw and kind of fine tune it to where we would like it to be now.
Yes.
So it's exciting. Another piece of exciting things coming forward.
Yeah. So. And one of the pieces too that I think I certainly would like to highlight and reinforce, and you would more than likely agree, but I won't presume that you'll be able to say, the discussion and the actions last night actually resulted from citizen input and business input at the prior meeting. So in terms of reinforcing, oh, by the way, pay attention, come, if you've got something to say, say it. Some of those things actually result in actions coming through. So
you are 100% correct, Steve. And that is a great analogy of what happened at EDC. Some of the things that happened at EDC last night came directly from the citizens. Yep. And from citizen involvement at an EDC meeting. We can't emphasize this enough. If any citizen has an issue, bring it forward. Mm-hmm. Call a counselor, call me, call the town hall and find out the process to maybe how you might get that, something that you're very much mm-hmm. concerned about and interested in. How do I get this to the council so they can at least discuss it? And there are many different avenues and there's many different laws that, you have to follow a
depending
process.
Depending upon the nature of whatever it is you're asking for. Exactly. Absolutely. Yep.
But don't let that deter you.
No.
Continue to come forward. And, I don't, to use an analogy, fight for what you want. Fight for your rights.
Yeah.
And you have those rights and we want you to use them. We want you to bring those forward to us as a council and we want to hear from you. You know, whether it's on the citizens' comments at council meeting, or same thing at school committee, they have those citizens' comment
at the beginning of the session as well. Yeah.
These are all great avenues to get your voices heard, and we do listen. And that was the prime example of the EDC listening, having another discussion about it, and now moving forward to bring it to the full council.
Yep. Yeah. And if people don't want to talk, I also shared out this week, there's actually a little suggestion box on the front page of the town page, the homepage of the front of the town website, you know, suggestion box. And you know, if you don't want to make a phone call, you don't know who to call. Okay. Just there's a suggestion box. Just fill in your name, email, put the idea, question, whatever it is. It gets to where it needs to go. And then the ball starts rolling. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it is. It truly is.
Well, good. Well, thank you. It was a shorter meeting. So this is shorter as well, but that's okay. It's all good.
It is all good, Steve. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to do these quarterbacking sessions, because as we talk about almost every week or every time we have one of these, is it's a shorter version for those who don't want to sit and or don't have the time to sit and listen to a full council meeting. We can bring you the highlights the next day.
Right. So
thank you again for having me, and I look forward to our next one.
Absolutely. Thank you for participating. I look forward to the next one as well.
All right, Steve.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.